And I think it's like a normal thing to feel jealous, but there are some people that just like rot in that feeling of jealousy. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna forever be jealous of this person. Actually, I want them to die because why are they in a better spot than I am, right?
That makes sense. I got compared to a lot to my sister.
Yeah.
My sister's stellar. Me. Understand? So you
what,
know,
like grades, you mean?
Huh?
Like grades wise?
Probably
or like-
everything, honestly. I follow this artist. He started making music when he was 28. I remember thinking, like, damn, like, this old head made music now.
I realize you're turning 27 this year. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our channel. We are so excited about this episode because this is technically a part two. Part one, we talked about the root of our parents, South Asian parents, is competitive nature, their scarcity mindset, where all of that came from and why we were kind of ingrained with that competitive nature now. So in this episode, for part two, we are going to be talking about how to actually unlearn that and stop competing with our neighbors, our besties, our cousins, and just everyone around us, and actually build a genuine connection, collaboration, community. Because we always hear there is enough room at the table, don't compete with one another, but that is so much easier said than done. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about how to reframe the idea of success, how to stop feeling like there's only one spot at the top, how to stop feeling so jealous all the time. We talk about it all in this episode, so make sure to keep on watching and listening.
Welcome back to another episode of our delicious podcast.
Oh, wow.
Difficult-ish podcast about different South Asian narratives, hosted by my co-host.
Mahua Khan, hosted by my co-host.
Mashnoom Manir.
Mashnoom.
Before we get any further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast, do all of the above.
Because when we're recording this, we're actually close to 1,000 subs on YouTube.
Oh, we are close to a band. Bandarino, please get
us
to that.
A little
we need
happy.
That.
Yeah.
We need that. We need that. Yeah. Yeah, what's up? How are you? This is difficult. How are you feeling? Good day? Bad day?
I'm feeling good. I think, you know, the springtime and warm weather is hitting New York, and that has been propelling me a little bit where I can go, like, you know, play badminton outside.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
actually more willing to, like, go on walks and just, like, enjoy life, you know, finally.
Earlier today, you said that your, like, entire mood was destroyed.
I didn't finish because you interrupted me so rudely.
Okay.
But with that being said, this week has been quite gloomy, and the April showers have been hitting in May, unfortunately. So
it's clear skies out.
Well, now it is, but today's the first non-rainy day in a couple of days, so
this is a podcast.
I've been just going back.
We just lie on this podcast.
Yeah, so
that's good.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Good, just out here working.
I feel like you've been getting stressed a lot at work.
Nah, not really.
You say
I've
that.
Kind of been like kind of enjoying it.
Really?
I've been enjoying it, you know. I've been like being tested, you know, and it's like, you know, like
I'm like not comfortable.
Right. And it's like, you know, I'm at that phase where I'm just like, I feel like proud of myself when I do a good job at something, you know. You understand? So yeah, I mean, you know, doing that, you know, just busy times. That boy Shahrukh. Comments on that boy
Shahrukh Khan.
Comments on that boy Shahrukh.
You know, he's a Khan just like me. I'm a Khan just like him.
You know who else is?
Who?
Half of India.
All right, well.
Sorry, buddy.
I would just like to say I'm related.
Okay, good one.
Yeah, he pulled up to the Met Gala. We had a bunch of other cool South Asians and brown people rocking.
Thoughts on the fit?
His fit was nice. I think it could have done a little bit more. But I like that the elegance of his usual style was there. Like, it was his first one, so I didn't expect him to, like, go all out. Just because you could tell he was nervous. He's not really in America for big, like, red carpets like that. But I think it's still slayed. Like, the jewelry was amazing.
Do you think, like, the brown community is overreacting, saying that, like, the interviewer should have, like, you know, praised him some more and, like, maybe done some research? Like, damn, who are they talking to? Because think about how many, like, interviewers have the opportunity to talk to Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
Literally no one.
I was actually watching the interview live when it was happening on TV, and they were definitely a lot more excited when other people showed up, just because they probably know of them, they're friends with them, they've seen them on media. So I think the excitement wasn't the same when Shah Rukh Khan did come. But also, I think you can't expect everyone to know all of the big international artists. Like, you know, like, there were a lot of crazy fans that were like, oh my god, he should have been in the front of the line, not even having to wait online. He should have still waited online just like everyone else. Like, he's not gonna get, you know, nah,
but escorted. But it's like these interviewers, like, I feel like someone should have told them, like, hey, you are about to interview Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I definitely think
they should have, like, they don't got to know who he is before, yeah, but at least someone should have been like, yo, you are, do you, you have no idea who you're about to talk to.
Yeah.
Something like that. I feel like no one, like, prepped them like that.
Yeah. I definitely think, yeah, I definitely think that they should have been more excited or done more research on who they were talking to. But then also at the end of the day, like, they were researching, they were probably interviewing, like, hundreds of people.
Nah, but he's different. Like, he's
different. I'm not acknowledging that he's not different. Like, definitely he is. And I'm glad that Sabio Sachi said something like, yeah, he is the biggest, like, actor in the world, right? So I'm glad that his status was, like, there before he left that interview.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, I'm just, like, trying to be empathetic. Like, yes, they should have done a better job with knowing him, interviewing him, but also they were probably overwhelmed with the fact that he's not American, so they were trying to, like, make him more comfortable by not, like, tripping up with, like, hard questions or trying to make him more nervous. And then also maybe they just, like, didn't know him personally, so they didn't know exactly how to react. But also, I think he should have gotten more respect and more, like, honor, you know?
You know what I would have done if I interviewed Shah Rukh Khan?
What? Oh, wow. Just break out and dance?
Start dancing, yeah.
Would you, like...
Maybe he'd join me.
You would, like... do his dance moves?
Of course. Look what I could do. Yeah, I start,
that would really get him.
Yeah,
that would make him feel a lot more, like, safe and comfortable.
You don't know about those.
Yeah, I
you know about that's the before your time.
I see. I was born before him, but okay.
Yeah, what's up? Like, wanna start the episode?
Yeah, I'm what's excited about
on?
This one, huh?
Yeah, what's going on? What are we talking about?
This is a little part tour, right? Because well, actually, it might even be a part three.
Is it?
I think it is a part three.
Ooh.
Because earlier in April, we talked about why there are some South Asians that compete with one another, where it roots from, why we have, like, the scarcity mindset going on, and why we feel like only one of us can be on the top. And then we also had a recent episode where we talked about just, what did we talk about?
The recent episode? Last episode?
Yeah.
Talked about, you know, like, the history of, like, you know, why our parents' generation have like these, like, traits have been, like, instilled in them, you know, whether coming from, like, dating back to, like, you know, like, colonialism and, like, the partition, you know, like, only a certain number of people have the have, like, an opportunity. Like, you talked a lot about, like, these kids that, like, grew up in the schools, you know, like, they grew up knowing that, like, only X percent of, like, their classmates were going to, like, be able to get into, like, a good school. So it's like they were literally put into competition with one another, mm-hmm. and it's like competition was, like, everything,
like
everything
was a competition,
you know. So it's like we talked a lot about that and how it's affected, you know, like the way that we grew up, like a lot of the things that, like, our parents have instilled in us, you know, like how we grew up being competitive with, like, our peers and our cousins and whatnot, you know. We did a lot of that, but this episode, you know, we're gonna focus more on, like, how we have come to, like, grow out of it, you know.
Yeah,
like, whether it's, like, people that have, like, inspired us, or it's, like, you know, just, like, different things that we've learned on our own life journeys that, you know, have gotten us to start thinking a little bit more abundantly, you know, like, start thinking, you know, more collaboratively, you know, knowing that there's, like, enough room for everybody to, like, succeed. But, you know, we recognize that it's hard. It can be hard for people to come to this realization. To come to this realization.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like a lot of us are a little bit embarrassed to say that we still feel a sense of, like, competition with, like, one another, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, nowadays on social media, you always hear these things of, oh, there's enough room for everyone, or there's enough, da da da. And it's like you're hearing that, but, like, I think it's hard for, like, a lot of us to, like, grow out of that, you know? Because, yeah.
Yep. I think it's, like, we are also a product of our environment. So if, like, our parents are thinking like that, if our siblings, all of our close friends around us, and we stay in that environment forever, it's hard to have a different type of thinking because you're surrounded by people who think negatively, right? So, oh, I think this is, like, also part three, sort of, because we had a previous episode recently where we talked about making friends after, like, friend breakups, and just, like, how to actually attract good friendships when you are, like, in that phase where you feel like nothing good is coming to you, and just, like, how to attract goodness and feel like you're deserving of abundance. And that only happens when you, like, unlearn these negative toxic mindsets of, like, okay, if I have a best friend, I have to compete with her, and I have to bring her down and we're still gonna be besties. Like, that's not a healthy relationship at all, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, like, with a lot of popular demand, we're gonna be talking about just how to not be as competitive, how to not be a gatekeeper and actually attract good relationships and be in like a collaborative community. Mm. You know, and I feel like we are very like lucky now, because as we've gotten older, as we've like unlearned these mindsets, we've come to like more functions and events that have that like good energy, that collaborative feeling, you yeah, know, like how would you describe it?
Yeah I feel a lot of that,
yeah,
when we go outside like that. Simultaneously, I can feel the opposite too. Mm. You know, different crowds give off different energies. But, you know, at least for the last event that we went to, you know, at Monkey King, shout out Munzi, Monkey King.
We had her on the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, that was real cool. You know, like, everyone there was like super loving, like super like, you know, it felt like a big like family like gathering. Yeah. You know, even if like you didn't like personally know anyone, like there was like a real nice sense of like community over there.
Yeah, so, and when we say community, it felt like actually encouraging, and that's why representation is so important. It's like when you see a Bangladeshi creative or like a Bangladeshi musician or someone that is breaking the norms and they're being successful at it, or you know, seemingly they look successful and they're willing to share how they got to that point, it makes you feel like you can not only accomplish the same thing, or but you can also ask them for advice, and like it feels more like a sharing type of community, like sharing resources and not gatekeeping, instead of it just being like a bunch of people that look the same all together in one space, but everyone's like bickering and talking shit about one another or using another person to step over them and get to another spot without telling them how they did it, right? So I think that's like the difference, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. You did a little brief on what we talked about for the competitive scarcity mindset episode that we did, right? Let's do a little mini recap on like why a lot of us grew up with this like scarcity mindset and the need to compete, right? Because I feel like a lot of us had that feeling growing up where we had to compete with like our neighbor or our cousin because our parents kind of like pitted us against one another unknowingly, but also low-key knowingly.
Okay.
Where it's like they got the better grade, so now our parents are like, why can't you be like them?
Yeah.
Right? So then we are competing with our cousin or whoever, even though they didn't really do anything to us directly, but it's like what our parents are saying, maybe their parents are saying something different, and we're kind of like in competition with one another, even though we're like close with them, but you have this feeling that you have to beat them in some aspect, even though like makes you feel like gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no. You know, I got compared to a lot to my sister.
Yeah.
My sister's stellar. Me. Understand? So, you
what,
know,
like grades, you mean?
Huh?
Like grades wise?
Probably
like
everything, honestly.
Just like attitude, too.
Yeah, she was nicer.
Yeah.
More presentable.
I see.
Didn't dress like a buffoon. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I grew up with a lot of that in the household, but I think like community wise like in like my friend group, I think maybe because I always resented the way that my mom would like compare me to like my sister, like my cousins. I think I grew up thinking like with the foundation of like, I'm not gonna do this with like my friends, or like I'm not gonna do this with like my peers,
like comparing.
Yeah, like comparing, and like if they get an achievement that like I'm also like you know, trying to reach, I'm not gonna be upset. Of course, like I'll slip through the cracks, like I'll still get upset here and there about something. We all do, it's normal. But I think there were like a lot of situations where like I would study real hard for a test, my friend would not study as much, he would get a better grade than I did, and you know, I feel like I would have to go home and I would have to like face that with my mom. Like, hey, mom, like I didn't do good at this. She would ask, oh, how did this person do? I gotta tell
her. That was always the first question.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you didn't do well. How did your best friend do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that just makes me feel worse. But it's also like, what's the relation?
Yeah. And like, I would see like the way that my mom reacted, and I think it would just teach me like, man, like I'm not gonna like operate that way. Like, I'm not gonna go about life that way.
But I think you had the opposite type of thinking, because a lot of people grow up, like I did too.
Yeah, yeah.
They grew up with the opposite feeling where they're like, okay, if my parents are putting this much heavy emphasis on the grades and they're comparing me to this one other person, I'm going to also grow up with my value being attached to the grades and the number and feeling like I have to constantly compete to have like the upper hand, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when it like affects you at work too, because you feel like you have to burden yourself out and work 10 times harder than everyone else to get to the top, because you feel like there's only one like job title or feeling of accomplishment at the top that you strive for. And then also I think since we are people of color, our parents have always, I don't know about you, but my mom has always told me to work 10 times harder than everyone else to get to that same spot, because obviously the opportunities aren't as grand for us.
Yeah.
Just based off of our, what was that little voice crack?
No, it happens.
It happens. Okay.
Just don't ignore that.
Sorry about that.
It's going to be cutting it.
So yeah, we don't get the same opportunities as everyone else. So I was always told to work harder. And I think because of that work hard, play hard type of mentality where you have to kind of, you feel like you have to step over everyone else to get to that same point as like your white counterparts, you feel like there's only one brown person on the top, you know, especially if you are like in a workforce that is very like white dominated. And there's like that diversity card that is being pulled where it's like one black person in the office, one brown person in the office. You feel like you have to be that one person of color to dominate out of like the hundreds or thousands of other people that applied for this job.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's me.
So it could also just be like the corporate world and like the very like capitalist world that we're in, where we feel like we have to compete with everyone else to be that individual success story.
I'm the token POC.
Are you at your job?
Yeah, and it's okay.
Yeah,
I don't mind. It got me the job.
It got you the job. Like, there's pros and cons to it, you know. You know how people have this like argument where like gentrification is a bad thing, but then there's also benefits to it.
Facts.
That's the same thing with you.
What's like a benefit of like gentrification?
More safety.
Okay.
Like, I was talking about this with my friend Priya the other day. Obviously, if like a McDonald's or like a Starbucks or a Target are being, they're being built in like Bronx or like Southside Jamaica or something, right? Those local businesses are being pushed out.
Yeah.
But also more of these big stores are being built, which means higher rent prices, which means probably richer people are moving into the area, which will eventually bring you more safety.
There's enough rich areas.
Yeah.
Stop gentrifying, goddamn. Like, just move to this rich area.
Just move to Upper East Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like a little mini recap of what we talked about in our
all that
in our competitiveness scarcity mindset, where did that stem from episode. So make sure to check that out as part one if you do want to hear more on like where it comes from. But now we're going to be talking about just like some mindset shifts and some things that we've changed personally in our lives beyond just like, oh, there's enough room at the table. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know? What's that mean?
Like, how do we actually get to the point where we don't feel jealous, where we don't compete with everyone in our lives, where we feel like actually secure with ourselves?
So how'd you do it?
You want to get started?
How'd you do it?
You want me to?
I mean,
you want to start?
Okay. Yeah.
You don't got to bet. I'll start.
Please let me start.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
You want to start?
No, okay. I have nothing.
Okay. So the first thing is that I think a lot of people have this inherent feeling of jealousy. It's normal. You grew up with this feeling of competitiveness and you feel like only one person can be in top. Like, obviously you're going to feel some type of way if someone in your personal life is having some sort of success or accomplishment that you want to reach, and that makes you feel like you're lesser than them because you haven't reached it yet. And I think it's like a normal thing to feel jealous. But there are some people that just like rot in that feeling of jealousy, right? They're like, yeah, I'm jealous of this person. I'm going to forever be jealous of this person. Actually, I want them to die because why are they in a better spot than I am, right?
That makes sense.
So there's like a jealousy that consumes you and makes you feel like you're lesser than them, and then you wish harm on them, right?
Yeah.
But then there's also the form of jealousy where you're jealous for maybe a minute, and then you're like, okay, this is actually something that I really admire about them, and I love that they're here in this moment. That means that there is someone that can accomplish this, and I can do the same thing, and I can maybe like talk to them and have them as a mentor, just get help and resources from them, and just actually genuinely admire them, right? Where you don't let that jealousy consume you in like a negative way, and you rather use that as like a way to fuel you and have them as like a resource, and not even just like a resource as in just like using them, but like knowing that it's possible for you to do something similar, right?
So how do you go from like that first person, second person?
I think it's like a like an actual accountability type of thing. Like you have to acknowledge that this jealousy is like literally ruining your life, right? Like you have to acknowledge that you're comparing yourself to them, and that's actually making you not work harder because now you're striving to become just like them or where they are, and it's kind of like poisoning you. You have to acknowledge that that's not a good feeling and kind of rewire your brain into feeling more of this like admiration and feel encouraged by this person's success. And it could just mean you journaling like what is like the root of this jealousy. Like, is it them getting this accomplishment that you feel like you're not deserving of? Is it because you feel like you have like these biases on who you feel like should be successful? Like, just try to get to the root of it, really do some sort of like self-acknowledgement, and yeah, maybe that will help you reframe on what like makes like gets you triggered and how to like actually fix that, you know.
I remember like I used to have this friend in high school. We started working like the same job, like it was like a seasonal job, and like after like the seasonal time was over, like they would hire for part-time like the people that were good and like let go of the people that were bad. And I got hired and my friend didn't.
But my what was the job? What was the job?
Aeropostale. but my friend was such a better worker than I was. I was dog shit worker. I didn't do nothing. I don't know how I got hired. And he didn't. And I remember, like, after that happened, like, maybe, like, a couple weeks later, he was like, man, like, that, like, really, like, he told me, he was like, yo, like, that, like, really messed with me. Like, I thought, like, it was, like, agreed upon that I wasn't good at the job. It wasn't, like, he was, like, hurting my feelings saying that I wasn't good at the job. I know I wasn't. I was lousy. But he was like, yeah, like, I worked really hard. And, like part of me, like, doesn't understand, like, why you got this and, like, I didn't. And then I remember, like, a couple weeks later, and I never felt no type of way that he did that, that he said that. I was like, yeah, man, you're right, honestly. And then he came back and he was like, yeah, man, you know, like, I just want to apologize, da-da-da. Like, I didn't mean to, like, say all that. Like, you know, you deserve the position. Like, I don't want to say that, like, you didn't earn it. Like, whatever way it happened, like, that's how it happened. And even though I didn't get hurt from when he initially said it, like,
can I really ask why your shoe is, like, over here? Are you going to put it on or are you going to put it somewhere else?
Okay. See, now I lost my train of thought.
Okay,
now
sorry. I lost my train of thought. No, sorry, continue. Sorry, your slipper was just like bothering me a lot.
It's been there for 20 minutes.
Okay, now I just realized. Okay, go ahead.
I literally forgot what I was saying.
No, you.
And yeah, you know, like I really appreciate that he said that. You know, and I think like we kind of like talked about it like a little bit more like after that, and he was just like, yeah, you know, like he started working like this other job, and like he could have like been like lousy or like not worked as hard because he had like a bad experience with like his first job, but like he like continued to work hard. If anything, like he worked harder in like this new position because like he was like, man, like I really want to like, you know, do good here, because like maybe he's telling himself he didn't do as good in like the first position, whatever, but like I think he used that fuel in like a really good way. And I think like that's something that like I've continued to practice throughout my whole life, is like when I see someone reach something that I might have also wanted, I never think like, ah, it's because you got lucky, or ah, it's because like I didn't do something that was enough. You know, you cannot compare your situation with somebody else's situation, because you are not identical people. There's always going to be differences between you two.
And what I like that he did was like open up to you and communicate that, because I feel like when jealousy happens, especially when it's like with a close friend and they achieve something that you wanted to do and you're jealous about it, you let it fester and it gets worse and worse, and then you're just bitter about it, and then there's these like microaggressions that you guys have, like a little just bickering and insults and this and that, because you never like talked about it, and then you just like made them look bad in your eyes, and then you started like, you know, self-inflicting on you. Like, it just makes it so much worse. So the fact that he like opened up to you about it and didn't make you feel like shit in the process, I think is very healthy.
Facts.
And is what helped the process too.
Facts.
You know
something else that helped me out? Like, adding on, like, what I just said is, like, at least in, like, the creative industry, it's so easy. Or not, I don't want to say industry. Just, like, being interested in, like, the creative arts, it's so easy to become jealous of someone who reaches a certain goal or stature that you are also trying to reach. It's incredibly easy because Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we at the end of the day, like, a lot of us that are pursuing the creative arts are doing it in hopes of like becoming rich off of it and like getting money from it and taking care of people from it. And when you see other people doing that, but you're, you know, obviously. But I think something that really helped me was like, not even like internally, but also like had me perceived as like a good human, at least like in Orlando, like in my city, was just like, one, like just like showing up for people, and two, just like, like sharing how much you love somebody else's work, or like sharing how much, how good you think somebody else is, whether it's in like the exact same thing that you're doing, or it's in like the same type of sphere, you know. Like if I used to always go to open mics in Orlando, and I used to always tell people, man, I want to be like you one day, or you know, this piece, like I can, like to this day, I can remember like pieces that I heard performed in like spoken word competitions that I would look at and I was just be like, damn, like I still think about that. Like I remember I did this one competition where I wrote like the best piece I ever had, and I was confident. I was like, this is a banger, like this one is great. And I performed it, and like it wasn't received well, and someone else won that I don't think was as good as mine. That's fine. But I went home thinking like, okay, like it's like, it was me, like it's my fault, but at the same time, like it's not, you know, because like you can't always expect, you know, your work to be interpreted a certain type of way. And, you know, you can't always expect people to see what you're seeing from like the same type of lens, you know? So I think one thing that really helped me was just like sharing admiration and, you know, telling people that you love their work, or, you know, whether it's in a certain other type of vertical, whether it's like academics, like, oh, like, you know, asking the smart kid studying tips.
Because guess what? Like, we didn't really have like those positive words of affirmation growing up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we were doing something outside of school that we're excited about, like the arts or something that didn't really.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Wasn't really supported by our parents or something. It's not like we had, like, our parents really going out of their way to give us a little compliment here and there, right? But I feel like now that I'm older, I refuse to be that person that like stays silent even when like someone is doing something really cool or good or, you know, congratulatory.
Nice.
That's the one?
Nice.
Sorry, I was like testing it out a little bit. Congratulatory.
I shocked you. How'd you do that one? You got any others like hidden in like your sleeve?
No, not now. Maybe later it'll like show up a little hidden word. That's okay. But yeah, I think like I grew up at first also hiding like my feelings and, you know, not really me thinking giving a compliment is me being vulnerable, because I was always taught like, don't be so vulnerable, don't share all your secrets, blah, blah, blah. But like you complimenting someone is not like you revealing everything about yourself and now that means that you're in love with them because whatever. But I think it's always important to give someone their flowers for doing something that they're passionate about or just doing something that they love and succeeding at it, because not only will that energy come back to you, but it will also like get you in the habit of just congratulating people when they deserve it and just like not keeping things to yourself. Because I think when we are like in our head, we're like, oh my God, like obviously they're doing a good job. I don't have to physically say it because they already know that, because they're already so big, or they just know they're killing it. I don't have to say anything, but it really does go a long way when you are like going out of your way to say something. Like I remember back in my old days, and I still do it sometimes now, when I would make art or make any videos and post it, I would literally screenshot every single like repost I would get or any single like DM that I would get, because it meant just so much to me. And I think now, as I get older, I know the importance of just being there for people, but also physically showing it too, because like it really means a lot when you like actually put your action and words into it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, like I hate like that corny shit that like guys would do a lot of time, or like they won't show love to like someone else that's making like something cool, or someone that's doing something that like you want to do too. Like I feel like a lot of guys will stay quiet about that because they don't want to look corny, they don't want to look some type of way, they don't want to look like they think of someone else as above them or like as highly as them. But like, and like especially as like South Asians, like you said, like I feel like it's so important because we don't hear a lot of that. We don't hear a lot of that admiration. We don't hear a lot of like those compliments and like those uplifting words of encouragement. So like I feel like for our people, it's more important than anyone else to, you know, if you see someone that looks like you that's doing something cool or doing something better than you, like be vocal about it, because like you said, it comes back to you. It really does come back to you. And like, you know, you want to like present yourself as a good person to like the world, you know, because that just means you're making yourself more available for good opportunity to come back to, you know.
So I think the good karma comes back to you. But then also what you said before, it's like you showing up for people by, you know, saying a verbal compliment, but then also you showing up for these little events of someone throwing like a DJ event or someone having like a poetry reading. That is like so important, especially when you are trying to build this community and have like these genuine friendships that you can lean on, that you can collaborate with. Because if someone is succeeding in some sense and they're having this event that is like such a big milestone in their career, and none of their friends show up, like that is such a shitty feeling. Obviously it's great when like random people show up to your event, but it's really like the best when it's like your actual loved ones that show up. So like when you do attend these birthday parties even, or these milestone events for your friends, it means so much because you're actually like giving them their flowers on top of like just supporting them verbally, you know.
And it means a lot more when it's like when they're hosting some sort of event that is like real personal or like vulnerable to them.
Yeah,
you know, it's one thing to like show up to like a birthday party, obviously like that's important, or like show up to like if someone is someone has like a clothing brand, they're having like a clothing brand pop up, like obviously that's important too. But like it's more important to show up to like someone's poetry reading, or someone, you know, someone makes paintings, they're having like a little pop-up for like their paintings, a little showcase. Like things like that are super super important to like show up to. And like those are like the events that like the people hosting like will remember like seeing you there, versus like a birthday party, like they might forget about that you were there, type thing. So
do you remember like any high school teacher comments that you had growing up that like still stick with you just because it was like that positive affirmation that you needed to keep going in that sense?
I think I can think of a few, but most specifically ninth grade English, Dr. Weaver, shout out to you. She was a wonderful teacher because she's someone that like really, really celebrated like creativity in school and like really celebrated like weird shit. Like, you know, she was an English teacher.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, you know, when you think of like English class or like any sort of like, say, 2D art, whatever, I feel like there are two teachers. There's a teacher that like first they look at like technical skill and then like creative vision, or there's the teachers that first look at creative vision and then technical skill, you know. And both are important, obviously, but I think I've always leaned towards like admiring the teachers that recognize creative vision first, because I'm someone that like has always struggled with technical skill about anything, whether it's mathematics or just anything school related. I've always struggled with technicality, just doing things the textbook way. But I feel like I've always had creative vision. I've always just wanted to do whatever I want, wear whatever I want. You know, I've always had like all these like ideas growing up, all these visions and memories growing up that like I just wanted to like recreate in different ways. And this teacher was like a teacher that once a month we would have this assignment where like we would just write a paper about, there would be a prompt once a month. It could be, the prompt is, learning from a mistake, some basic. And then you would just create a story. It could be a fiction story. It could be a nonfiction story. It could be a cartoon. It could be whatever you want. And I remember I used to love these assignments because I would always just write weird shit, like fiction, nonfiction, made up stories, real stories. And like, I would not care about the way that sounded, like how technically correct it was. And she's someone that like always applauded me for like, hey, if like she could understand that I was like passionate about writing, like I really enjoyed doing these assignments. And like, I'm sure there were words along the way that she said, like, I can't think of one thing specifically, but yeah, I think teachers like that are like super important for like kids like me, you know. Like, on the flip side, there are kids that want to become like real literary professors or real, you know, like real journalists that really admire like a teacher teaching them high value like technical ability. But yeah, man, like I've always loved teachers that like can recognize like, yo, like this is just a kid that doesn't know much in the world yet, but like is passionate about like self-expression and like celebrates that,
you know? She's like still sticking with you
even to after this day. Shout out Dr. Weaver. Listen,
don't you have her like on Facebook?
I got her on Facebook.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's my dog.
What about you? I think on top of that, something that really gives that collaborative community energy is like, I don't know, I hate when people come out with like a final product, right? And it's this big milestone, a book or a collection or whatever it is. And they just come out with like the end result and it seems so easy, but they don't really share the in-between stuff, the ugly journey, just like the process behind it. Just because I feel like, and I'm not going to say they do this to gatekeep anything. I'm not saying that they do this to like intentionally, but I think there's so much beauty and power in like showing the in-between journey of like getting to this end result, because it's not pretty all the time, right? And like when I first started, you know, making clothing and making art, and I posted during the pandemic on TikTok, it's very scary for me because again, I'm like breaking these norms and I'm like doing my master's in something completely different. No one I know is starting a business or making clothing. So like the only community that I really had was like on TikTok or Instagram, where I saw other artists and other people doing their thing. And I think me seeing that it's possible for other people to do it too, and like them showing their journey and how they did it and like sharing their art, I think that made me feel more confident to also do it. And I think that's like the power in social media, right? Like it builds community in very niche things that you didn't even think was like normal or acceptable in your like local area. But I just think it's really important to show like the in-between process, you know? And I think more people resonate with you in your journey in that way. And also that allows for like a collaborative like response. Like you can get other people commenting that they're also here in this journey, or their support on like how they fix this problem that you might have. And I just think that's how like actual genuine friendships happen, because you're vulnerable about something that is scary to share about, and you're just like open about it instead of scared of like potential hate or
facts,
you know. Facts. Because we're always told to like hide the behind the scenes and just like show, like when you're married,
yeah,
don't show like the you're dating, you know. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's completely different. Like, but I'm saying that's
not relevant at all.
But it's like, you know, you're supposed to just show like the end result. Like, okay, you're a millionaire, just show that. But don't like show really how you got to that point, you know? If you sell houses or if you are successful in this career, don't really share how you got to that point of being a successful realtor or how you got successful in this career. Because it's like, why would you share these resources that got you to win and help other people win too? Like that's the mindset that we kind of grew up on. So
but also sucks because like there's always the chance of like something you posting getting on like the bad side of social media, where like there are people that are gonna clown you for only getting 50 listens on your new song.
You know?
And like there's always that fear, and it sucks. So like, you know, like I empathize with people that like don't always want to showcase the journey, because like sometimes the journey is not the prettiest, you know. But yeah,
I think you just got to break out of that fear though. Not for you.
Some that you know we got to start practicing is like redefining what the word success means.
Break that down.
It's always gonna be tough because our parents are always reminding us what success is.
Right.
What's success? You money status.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you wanted me to answer.
Money status. No.
Good job, marriage.
Money status. Yeah. Good job, marriage. Money status.
Kids.
Yeah.
House.
Not too many.
The perfect amount.
Yeah. Not too little. But I think I did a lot of this growing up, where like I would really admire like a lot of people's like way of living and see them as like, oh, like I would love to live that type of life. Not even making it relevant towards like money or status or whatever, just like, you know, this person travels once a week or once every month.
Once a week?
Something like that. Like I've always, like I've talked about this, but I've always been like enthralled by like a nomadic living and like people like traveling as a living and like they not caring about, you know, making money off of like whatever, just like literally just living their lives. And yeah, you know, I think that has just helped me with having a competitive mindset, because like I think it's so easy to get with having a competitive mindset because like it's so easy to get jealous about how much money someone has, because money is just access to so many things that we need in life. But if you, and like we all look at obviously money as success, and like it's gonna remain a symbol of success, but there's so much more that can make someone successful. You know, like I don't know about you, but like I feel like I've met so many people that like just do not care about money. You know, just do not care about money, and like acquire fulfillment by other things, by like having the free, or like by being like creatively expressive and like having creative freedom,
or being helping able to people.
Yeah. And like I know so many people that like, at least like back at home, just work regular ass jobs, they have a girlfriend, they go take pictures every other day, and like they just admire like regular life and regular living. And like I feel like, one, like it really grounds you, like it makes you understand that like, yo, like a lot of this shit really doesn't matter. Like it really does matter to an extent. We still want money to take care of this and that, but like there's really so much more to life. You know, like I follow this one guy that I met in Colombia that literally all he does is travel. He's been in a different place every single week for like 3 years now. And I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. But
does he work? He works from home.
Probably just picks up different jobs wherever he goes. Like he's one of those. And one of those goddamn hooligans.
Right.
And you know, it just makes you appreciate so much more.
Yeah.
And I think I honestly, now that I'm saying it out loud, I think that's a big reason to why I've never had like too much of a creative mindset or competitive mindset, because I just look at so many different things as like symbols of success. You know, I just think it's super important. So.
And do you like implement that into your life?
Implement it in my life, but I think broader than that, it's just like, I think it all comes down to like money is like the root of all evil. Like money is the one thing that we can all get so jealous of.
Yeah.
That so easily triggers jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at other things as like symbols of status, it just takes your mind off like the money a little bit.
But I think also what you said, that there's like different routes to what success means to you. Like it's not just money and power and having a wife and kids and house, like what we were taught to have. I think there's also different routes to getting to that money, right? Like a lot of us were taught that it's just like those three classic routes that you have to follow: doctor, engineer, lawyer. And now as you get older, I hope a lot of us realize that there's so many different jobs and careers and lives that you can take to also attain money if that's what you desire. But then Also, there are people working at Google or these big tech jobs where they do make a lot of money and they're so unfulfilled because they don't have like a life outside of just the money, right? Like, you have to know how to use the money to fund your dream life, and you have to have like interests or hobbies or like goals outside of just like these job related milestones, because then you're going to be just so unfulfilled. Like, even when I went to Bangladesh last year, after 20 years of not going, the last time I went was in first grade, I felt such a big level of fulfillment when I went to the villages of Tethulia in like northern Bangladesh, where I was able to like help these kids and help with their education and get them to even go to school when they're destined to just become like child workers, like child laborers, right? And I think having that type of experience helped me understand like more of what my purpose is and like what I want to do more in life with just like, you know, creating clothing. It's not just to make money or to be successful as like a business owner. Obviously those are some aspects of it, but the bigger mission is to help children of immigrants, South Asians, people of color feel more comfortable in their own skin and in their culture, right? So I think when you have like a bigger reason and like more of like a will to live, basically, besides beyond just the money, I think that's when you start to do things for yourself and do things that bring like self-enjoyment, you know. And I think it's also really important to realize that there are so many different timelines, right? Like, I made a video a couple of weeks ago talking about just how our timelines don't matter and that people will accomplish different things in different points in their life. That doesn't make them not successful. Like, for example, me graduating with my master's at 23 was such a big win for me, and it was like a pretty young age, but then I didn't even pursue that degree, and then I started my own business at a completely different age. And there are people in their 40s or 50s or whatever starting their business for the first time, or having kids for the first time, and just like fulfilling something that maybe they wanted to do when they were younger but didn't have the courage to do it, or they weren't able to do it. And like, that doesn't make them unsuccessful, even though they did it later or earlier, whatever it is. Like, everyone has just so many different timelines, and like, we can't be the ones to compete and compare ourselves to other people, because that can also be in our cards eventually, but it's not going to be if we compare ourselves to other people's journeys.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That was a good one.
Thanks, buddy.
I remember when I was like 20 or 21, I followed this artist who, he started making music when he was 28, and now he's like pretty popular. Now he's probably, I don't know, like 33 or 34 or something. And I remember seeing him, like, I never knew how old he was until like maybe he said it in like some video where like he started making music at this time, and like, or it was like a video like of that time or whatever. And I remember thinking like, damn, like, this old head made music now. Old as hell. Stop this shit. It was good music, but
you,
I was,
realize,
like,
you're turning 27 this, stop, year.
Stop. Please stop.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right.
But I remember in my head, I was like, damn, old ass boy, you gotta stop, bro. It's too late. It's too late for all of this.
Tell him to go get the grandkids.
Your life's coming to an end.
At 28, please, it's crazy.
It's too late for any of this. And now, you know, I'm approaching said age.
Right.
And I'm just like, fuck, I need to start. Right. But no, it's like, I'm kidding. Like, I thought about that for a second, but then I thought like, oh, like, it's very cool to see like someone who's like at an age that like I'm gonna be approaching soon, and like they are like now like in, I don't want to say their prime, but like, you know, they are not letting like any stereotype of like age kind of like stop them from doing what they're, yeah, doing. And like, and now they're very popular, you, yeah, know, and like it worked out for the better.
I think that's also like about reframing the perspective, right? Kind of like what I said before about reframing the jealousy into actual like admiration, into, instead of like you wanting to kill them and wanting to like compete with them.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people might feel like, oh my God, I'm 35, I'm living by myself, I'm single, no one wants me, blah, blah, right? Or you can think of it in the opposite positive way, and you can be like, oh my God, I'm 35, I'm living in this beautiful place by myself, and I get to explore myself, and I'm perfecting what I want in myself and a partner so that I can like not settle. And then really just make it more of a positive thing instead of like dreading your life and like comparing yourself to other people's timelines and this and that.
Yep.
Because I think when you do fuel that good energy into yourself, that's when you do like meet other great people in your environment, right? Do you feel like at this age and like with all of this unlearning and having a like a more healthier mindset now, do you feel like you're able to detect like the gatekeeper scarcity mindset?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Really?
100%. I can name them right now.
Okay, well, don't do that. You just feel like you're able to.
Yeah, like, I feel like I have such. My friend Soham is even better at this, but like, I have such a good read on like authenticity and like people, like someone being genuine. Like, I feel like I'm really, really good at like detecting like someone's like realness or if they're doing something that's like fake. Like, even in just like their tone, like the way that they talk, like their cadence, like I can just tell. Like,
I feel like my gut feeling is better than yours, though.
No, it's not.
No, let's not even.
It's not.
Okay. This is gonna
like,
be
like what, like what, like,
like I'm able to detect it without even like talking to them. Like, I know who to look out for before you even like
look out for, as in like what?
Like, as in you shouldn't be
someone
close.
Who's fake?
Fake, or people that's like you just using you, or someone that just is talking shit about you behind your back. Like, they're not a genuine friend.
I mean, I don't know if you're better or not, but like I'm good at it. I know that. Okay. I know that.
All right. Do you have any like honorable mentions on like some friends that you feel like are very collaborative and bring that good energy and maybe have helped you become more open and creative?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my boy Soham. Shout out my boy Soham. Soham, like, he's always just curious in like everything that like I got going on. Like, he's one of those types of guys that like you'll say, be like, yeah, man, I'm feeling this way. And like he like just always keeps asking like, oh, like why?
That's
like,
what I like about why, like, he asks questions.
Why do you do that? Where does it come from? When did it start? Like, he's like not even like out of curiosity. It's like he's actually trying to be like a, like an asset, like a helping hand. And
he's
like
a detective.
Yeah, so he's good at that. Like, I remember, I think I told a story, but like one time we were out somewhere, we got approached by this guy, and he had the correct read on him. I fell for it. It was like some guy, he ended up being like
a scammer.
But like I fell for it. Like, I thought he was like the coolest guy in the world. Right. I was talking to him like super vulnerably, but saw him the whole time. He's just like, man, I got a bad feeling about this guy. And the next day we found out he was on some bullshit. So
he was a scam artist.
He's good at that. Yeah, shout out my boy, you know, shout out my boy Farhan. You know, he's a established writer right now, but always lending me a helping hand, always, you know, like
not a gatekeeper.
helping me with whatever I want. And like, he's throwing too much at me. Like, he'll be throwing shit. I'll be telling, stop, bro, like I don't need that much help. Like, he's trying to, and you know, I can go on and on, but
yeah,
what about you?
Yeah, I have a friend named Nasreen. She is the founder, designer behind the incredible brand called Mixed by Nasreen. And she was the one that I just miraculously found.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to find manufacturers a couple of years ago, legit manufacturers. And I like saw her brand on their Facebook page.
No, I mean, the one you worked with before.
The one that scammed me?
No, they were...
The one that literally scammed me.
They were pretty good.
Honestly. And I had to take them to court after 3 years. I finally won. Yeah.
And won.
But anyway, yeah, and won. By myself, by the way. Self-represented.
They weren't that bad.
But anyway, I was trying to find myself a manufacturer that was actually legit, right? And I saw her photo on their Facebook page or something. So I was like, okay, let me just cold DM her. She's probably not going to respond. She has thousands of followers. Like, why would she respond to someone that doesn't have, like, any notoriety, right?
Mm.
And not only did she respond to my DM, but then we met up for coffee, which she did not even have to do. She gave me the contact for a manufacturer, told me all the prices. She told me just like how to get started and like put in a good word for me. And that was literally the story of like how I make clothing now, because she was able to give me a direct like story behind this company instead of me just openly trusting a random company. So I literally see her as like a mentor now. I also have another friend, Aria, who just brings so much good energy, is always asking me how she can help with something, if she can give me like fabric. She's always just giving me like that good energy, good vibes. And you know, just like when you're around good people, you just feel like you're levitating. You know?
That's a good word.
Levitation.
Good. Appreciate that. Shout out Aria, shout out, you know, all the real ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Yo, what's up? 10 second advice? Anything?
Yeah, I think my 10-second advice is just, like, do some research on, like, authentic cultural fabrics and threads that you grew up with that you maybe see all the time that you don't know much about.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
How about
that. Invest in like some running shoes. Running shoes.
What if I don't run?
No, they're really nice for walking. Even
like, you know, they feel airy.
Yeah, it's comfortable to walk in. You know, you'd be walking all day long. You come home, feet hurting.
Yeah,
not running shoes. Just some nice running shoes. You know, they'll make you want to go on walks a little bit more. You know, maybe that'll let you get some steps in. Right now, she averages a good like 30-35 steps per day.
So, let's not lie. If you guys watch my vlogs, you know that I exercise a lot.
Yeah, that's all I got.
We have a bongo word of the day.
The bongo word of the day is
the bongo word of the day is gondo.
Gondo.
That means smell.
You stink. I don't know why she said that.
I don't know why. Things. I just thought maybe something smelled bad.
All right.
But I hope you guys like this episode. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure to rate and review if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, wherever you are. But we love you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye bye.
Alafis.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.